Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, welcome to I Love Movies with me, Doug Benson. I've got a bunch of crap in a bag that I need to take out and get ready for this exciting show. There's a lot of this is an exciting one. I know it's probably been 3 weeks since the last one, and I said I'd do them every 2 weeks, but you know, scheduling things happen. So we're here at the UCB Theater before Comedy Death Ray, and I also just want to say briefly that Fast and the Furious. No, wait, Fast. Wait, Fast and Furious, no the in there at either end, is very popular right now, and so I think my next project might be a ripoff of that, but from my, you know, stoner perspective, and it'll be called Slow and Slightly Upset. So I'm excited about that. But my big announcement that I need to make before I bring the guests out is that the number one complaint that I get, people that hate my podcast probably don't say anything to me at all, so that's not the number one complaint, that I hate your podcast. But the number one complaint is it's not long enough. So, starting with the next one, which I believe tapes 2 weeks from tonight, we are going to do a 7:30 start time and go for 45 minutes. And you can come in at any point. I don't mind if you come in late, but it's something to do before Death Ray starts, and it'll be longer. And then Death Ray's supposed to start 8:30, and for the listeners right now, we've been doing this from 8 to 8:30, so Death Ray always starts late because of me, and I totally appreciate it. But now I think this new system, Death Ray will still start late, but but less so, and people that like this podcast can enjoy 45 minutes of it. Let's bring out our guests. What do you say? Let's have some guests. This first person is, they're both friends of mine. They're both, one longer than the other, but one of them's been on the podcast before and the other one hasn't. Enough games. You're sitting at home or on your treadmill or whatever, trying to guess who I'm going to bring out here, and I'm just going to tell you. My first guest is Natasha Leggero, who has been in movies, which is exciting. Welcome. And she always has a glamorous outfit on.
Thank you, Doug.
You're one of the more glamorous comedians.
You usually make fun of it, and I never heard you call them glamorous.
Well, outfit. I'll think of something later. Okay, I'll say one right now. How many tauntauns had to die for that thing around your neck? And My other guest, the repeat guest, if you will, who nailed in the Leonard Maltin game the movie Dave with no names. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back. Dana Gould is here. Yes. Both of whom will be performing later in Comedy Death Ray. I totally poached Comedy Death Ray acts for this this particular night. Hi, Dana.
Hi. I'm always dressed like Potsy.
The more clothing humor we can get in, the better, because the podcast listeners have no idea what we're wearing, but they should go to lookatmeshirts.com.
I enjoyed your Tauntaun joke, and I'm impressed that you didn't go to and I thought they smelled bad on the outside for that.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, you know.
Is this a Star Wars
reference?
You know me,
Dana. I can't go so deep as to actually quote the characters. I could just name the obscure monster that one of them sleeps in for warmth.
Some would say monster. Some would say beast of burden.
So I like to play the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game with my guests that have been in movies, and I figured out that Natasha's 2 degrees away from Kevin Bacon.
I've only been in one movie.
Yeah, but you did it, girl. In that one movie, you made it within 1 degree. I also don't do any research on IMDb or anything like that before the show. It all comes from me just making my own notes and guessing at stuff. But this is a definite. You were in He's Just Not That Into You.
That's
with
right.
Jennifer Aniston, who was in Picture Perfect with Kevin Bacon. So you made it in 2 degrees, girl, with only one film.
Wow. Yeah. I thought maybe Kevin Bacon was in that movie.
You started out hot. You haven't seen it? It does have a lot of people in it. Drew Barrymore stops by and says, "I'm producing," and then leaves. You haven't seen that movie, have you, Dana?
I have not.
The wife didn't make you go?
Did not. Like Greg, though.
Oh, Greg's a great dude. He was on the show, and he was making fun of it. Because there's that part where the Asian guy goes, MySpace is the new booty call. And Greg, I got Greg to admit that line doesn't make any sense.
And it's the new nothing now.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like the timing was awful because MySpace is pretty, you know, is dead. It's not a booty call, but also it was never a booty call. A booty call is when you text a person directly or call them.
That was like in the movie Juno when I heard the line "swear to blog," my hand twitched. That's all I can do now. And I make a reverse fist.
What does you carry a rubber ball around and squeeze it? And then Dana, I couldn't think of any movies you've been in. I think you've been in a movie or two. Can I guess one that I think you were in, and then you could tell me no, that was Jake Hogan. Yeah. Pauly Shore's Jury Duty?
No.
That was Jake Hogan. So what movies?
We're not often confused.
It just feels like that movie had a lot of people running in and going, "There's a fire," and then running out. Yeah. That was like what Jay did, and I thought maybe you did something like that as well.
No, I did that in Father's Day, and I did that in My Fellow Americans. And
I see a lot of movies that you just named two that I went, mm-mm. Yeah. Billy Crystal and Robin Williams, no thank you. James Garner and another old dude, also no thank you.
Another old dude, Jack Lemmon.
Oh, well, Jack Lemmon. I did see pretty much every other Jack Lemmon.
Who said this to me on the second day on the set, "Hello, love."
He was just rehearsing for Glengarry Glen Ross.
He was.
So let me get a part of that. But also, the one thing that I just saw recently on the road somewhere watching cable television, you know, that short cable that you get in the hotel rooms on the road, where it's like news, weather, or what TBS thinks is funny.
Right.
And they nailed it with this one, though. I saw your very dark turn in probably the darkest episode of Seinfeld.
True.
Where you were the fellow who there was a lot of, there were scenes in the woods and there was a lot of digging.
Yes, fragile Frankie Merman. I gave Jerry a van he didn't want. I was his summer friend. I was the summer George from Jerry's childhood.
Isn't it great how complicated it is to explain
so
what you did on an episode of Seinfeld?
So
it's the same thing at Curb Your Enthusiasm. People are like, "What did you do on that?" Well, it's the one where Ed Asner dies and Larry David was there when it happened.
I just
so
saw your
I play
episode.
His nephew.
Yeah. Great.
But it's like, takes too fucking long to explain.
It's like a Tolkien story. But I ended up digging a hole in the woods and hiding in it. Hiding in a hole in the woods.
Right, because you, right. you kind of wanted to die because you felt so bad felt that so Jerry bad. Didn't want the white van that you
gave
him.
Not a stretch for me and my emotional, my legendary emotional resiliency. And at the end of the episode, it ended on that timeless comedy trope where someone says Seinfeld's van and they think they're saying Son of Sam. You know that.
That really held up well in syndication. But that's a tribute to how hilarious that show is, though, that no one really cares. You know, nobody minds that
it's
there's
Jerry
a
Stiller
character
saying
based
it.
On
cares?
The O.J. trials that shows up from time to time. Right.
That's right.
Like, you just watch it now and go, oh, he's just a lawyer. You know, at the time, it was like, that was a specific parody. But now it's like, oh, that's that shifty lawyer. I saw that guy in an airport once, and it took me forever to place it. And then I finally figured it out when someone else standing nearby me said, "Oh, that's the lawyer from Seinfeld."
Now, did you tell the story about speaking of the O.J. trial? The guy is like a guy at a hotel. Guy's checking into the hotel. You might have told me the story. I heard it here.
Or I think it's Posehn tells it.
Posehn tells it on stage. Oh, well, then it's in the
act.
Well, then I won't do it because I'd be like doing his bits.
No, that's all right. Let's do it.
But I was.
It's such a funny story. I can't get him to slip over the hill, you know, from the valley to come do this podcast.
But I heard it
again.
Here, so I'm not. I'm in the zone on it.
Yeah, yeah. No, you knew it wasn't yours.
And I said that
there are comics that will just they'll just go ahead and fire away right. with the thing somebody else did, and you know,
see Brian Posehn. You'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's Fred Goldman is the
right.
Who
in the
story.
Depth?
I swear I might have told it on this or another podcast. At some point, I've told it.
Here's what I don't understand. In the depths of Fred Goldman's misery, and I can only envision how the living hell of enduring that, he still had the wherewithal to curly cue up his mustache in the morning. Oh, God!
That's the thing that's so funny. You were so hesitant to do Posehn's bit, but like, I was horrified to find out that you and I, congruently, without ever having seen each other do it, were doing that exact same thing.
Yeah.
I had people coming up to me going, "What's Dana Gould's doing your bit?" And I'm like, "Dana Gould wouldn't take a bit from me. We're just doing the same bit." And that was the bit. And I've never talked to you about it because I never felt like you took it from me.
The mustache wax?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would just say, I'd say kind of the same buildup, like, oh my God, he's gone through this horrible trial. Then I go, but every morning you get up and look in the mirror and do this. And I jump right to the waxing it, but also looking kind of happy about it.
That's hilarious.
Did you do the noise?
No noises.
Oh, see, that's
his noise kind of sold.
Mine was very quiet.
Yeah.
Well, Dana
yours
always
is better.
Dana's more of a he's a better performer than I am.
Oh no, no, not well.
But okay, so what were those movies? Can we do you a 2 degree to Kevin Bacon? Oh, we could do it easily, so. Probably, because Jack Lemmon and Kevin Bacon were in The Odd Couple together.
I bet Kevin Bacon. Yes, we can do it.
Here we go.
I was in My Fellow Americans with Jack Lemmon. Mm-hmm. Who was in? What was it? He not in
Grumpy
JFK?
Old Men with Sophia Loren? Is that where
was
you're
he
going?
Not in was he in JFK?
He was in JFK
with Kevin Bacon.
Bam, done. JFK is part of what makes Kevin Bacon so great for the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Now, what was Jack Lemmon in
who
JFK?
Who wasn't in JFK? He was some doddering old dude who had information.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've seen. Because isn't Walter Matthau in it too? That's like kind of the joke because they're both in it.
Right.
And in separate scenes as different with information.
The gay characters in JFK are slightly more gay than the gay characters on Benny Hill.
With just less circular running.
Yeah, they literally have hand fans made of dicks. They're just like so incredibly. Like, is that a catcher's
mitt? That's what I like about Dana Gould, is he can come up with something like that and say it without stumbling over the words. As soon as I start to say hand fan fill the dicks, I would totally fuck it up. I can't spit out good ones like that, those fully formed ones. Like one time, you know that guy Troy Baxley, do you know him? He's out of Denver. We're in a car together, and we're sitting at a light, and some old man gets into his car, and he does that thing where you turn the engine over twice, and he goes...
Grind without, your flywheel.
Yeah, without missing a beat, Troy Baxley goes, "Grind me a pound of that, old timer." And I'm just like, how do you fucking come up with all of that and spit it out?
Wow.
Take 12 Simpsons writers to each put in 2 words to come up with that normally. Not to degrade that's why you're a Simpsons writer. You're good at that shit. But I was reading a recent Entertainment Weekly, I like to call it, And don't peek at that. That's you're gonna be competing in that.
I'm wondering if Jack Lemmon is in JFK. You know, I'm
okay, but don't look at the ones that have yellow post-its. He's looking through the Len Moulton book, which has never happened. You don't see someone going on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and flipping through the questions.
I think this is the first time I've ever looked at this book with my pants on.
You're
normally
thinking of
I'm
the...
pooping.
Oh, okay. I thought it was another. You're going another
normally
way.
Normally I'm
it.
Pooping. You're always. And how are you?
I thought you were always double checking to see if a Showtime movie would have, you know, would be soft porn or not. So, because don't they kind of steal the same name? So, in Entertainment Weekly, they name the top 20 heroes and the top 20 villains. We don't have time for top 20 heroes and villains, but we do have time for the top five. And I put it out to my guests. Let's see, if Natasha, you've probably been peeking already, but do you have any idea like who a top hero in the history of cinema would be? Like one of the best heroes ever?
Luke Skywalker. Is that one from history?
No, but I do really love the way you had disdain for all nerds as you said it. Luke Skywalker.
I'm really, yeah. It's,
that
it's...
asshole. Just because his face is horribly scarred is no reason to...
the top hero in the history of cinema.
If you want to name the top hero, you could try to guess that. It's, you know, it's a stupid magazine
article. I would say James Bond.
Bam, that's correct.
Wow.
James Bond, number one. Certainly probably in the most movies with like 27 or something.
And the last James Bond,
the other
I
Casino
liked.
Royale. Which one?
Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
I like.
Do you like all that, like, jumping around from building to building and stuff?
Yeah. It's running and fighting.
Yeah, the action's good, but there was just no story in that second one. The guy had a can of oil.
Models running away from explosions.
Yeah. But, no, but that's the thing, Natasha.
I don't get it.
You haven't seen the last two because the model quotient is way down. You didn't even see nipple in the opening title sequence, which is what I counted on as a child.
Yeah.
Those sequences brought me into adulthood. I like fights.
I like character-driven drama.
Okay, so the number two hero of all time is Indiana Jones. That was a strong character, right?
Yeah, I didn't like that one, though.
That one. And Superman, of course, comes in at number three.
No, I didn't like that either.
Harry Potter?
Didn't see it.
I hope you go through your entire life referring to movies that there are seven or eight of them as if there was just the one. Nope, didn't see that one.
But when talking about Indiana Jones, you could say, you know, the good one.
Yeah.
Because there is one good one.
Yeah, and one crazy one that's my favorite. The fucking Temple of Doom is one of the best movies ever made because it's so insane.
Yeah.
Like PG-13 was invented so that a horribly violent movie could be foisted upon people that were too young for it.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
It was the fragile Frankie Merman of the Indiana Jones series.
Absolutely. It was very dark with the hearts pulling out and the fucking lot of really hard punching in the face in that movie. And the eating the monkey brain. Oh, God, I love it. And then number five for best hero, which I say... you know, go for it, because she is awesome, is Ellen Ripley from the Alien films.
Oh.
Kind of a surprise that she finished so high. I think they probably just went out of their way to get a girl in there.
Yeah, I would think that, too.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer came in number eight, and then I start to argue, I thought this was movies, and then the magazine says back, no, it was never just movies. You're just a stoner. So then...
What else did the magazine
say? The magazine talks to me with the words that they write.
Yeah.
But then let's go villains. Both of you can guess one villain. See if you get a villain from the top five villains.
I'll discount the one timer-y. I saw that is the photo in the center of the page.
Yeah. If you saw the photo, you got to disqualify yourself from that one. I'll give you to number six.
I got one.
I'll give you it through Mr. Six. And Mr. Six is nuts. Are they kidding? Oh, that guy. Okay.
Cruella De Vil.
Again, the disdain was awesome. And she must be in the top something or other, but she's not in the top five. Snow White's Queen is number 15.
What? That's such a like minor
character. Yeah, so that's probably why she didn't. That's probably why Cruella didn't get in there, and also probably because you know they made one too many live action one with Glenn Close.
For we'll discount Darth Vader.
Here's Dana's. We'll discount him.
Yeah, because that's an obvious one.
Wow, Dana throwing out the obvious. Wants to make it hard on himself.
We'll discount the AIDS from Philadelphia. Awesome.
Why are you doing this to yourself? Now you've only got two guesses.
We'll discount Mary McDonald's funky spine from Passion Fish.
We'll never speak of it again, actually.
Is there a black and white one? Is there one from a black and white movie?
No.
Ah! Oh!
Who would you have said from a black and white movie?
Mr. Potter some. From It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, I don't know if he was... all these people kill people. They don't just fuck with them financially.
Like
Bernie Madoff is never going to make this list.
I saw the Joker in there, so it's not the Joker.
Why do you keep seeing them? Now you only
have... Because I have my cheaters
okay,
on.
Okay, so you've narrowed it down. It's not the Wicked Witch
Hannibal
of the West.
Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter, number three. He is good.
And by the way, the Wicked Witch, that's like... Come on.
Yeah. How come... Well, then why isn't the Good Witch fucking number one on the other list? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because the Good Witch didn't do shit. She just was like, oh, watch out for that. Bye! And number five on the villains list was Alex DeLarge from Clockwork Orange.
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah, yeah. But then number six is Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. But when I saw Mr. Burns, I was like, that Kevin Costner movie? What was that called? That was Mr. Something, wasn't it? Brooks, Mr. Brooks. I'm like, God damn it.
Wow.
I don't always agree with these lists, but this is ridiculous. I'm going to write a letter about Mr. Brooks being the sixth most, the best villain of all time.
All-time villain, Marley's trainer from Marley and Me. What I liked in the movie Marley and Me is that Kathleen Turner does an uncredited cameo as Beethoven from the other dog movie.
It's a super sympathetic crowd at these these shows for some reason.
How dare she be touched by time and gravity?
And donuts.
I used to see her in New York all the time, and I would never see her without a Heineken and a Marlboro Red Hard Pack and a Heine.
But you know what? She has got the movie Body Heat.
Yeah.
To pop into any
True.
You know beta machine and say, look at this fucking shit. Look where I was at.
Right. But she went from that to Charles Durning in about 30 seconds.
I like
Serial
Mom.
You know what I'm
Mom.
Excited about? You like Serial Mom? Mm-hmm. I like when she's the lady in the one scene who tells the dog to lick her feet. I don't know why I think that's so funny.
She's
but
great.
That kills me. Is that That's not her that says that, though. That's somebody else. But that's an interesting movie. That's one of two movies I could think of where somebody yelled out, Don Knotts! And that Don Knotts was not in the film. It was just somebody held up a picture of him randomly, and they yelled out. But I can't think of what the other one was. That's going to drive me crazy.
In the bowling movie Kingpin, there's a... people keep shouting, Attaboy Luther, which is a homage to the ghost of Mr. Chicken. And which you wonder like why my him? Life is an avalanche of pussy.
All right, it's time to play the Leonard Maltin game. You know the new rules. I explained them to the contestants. We'll have Natasha go first.
Oh, man,
she
I'm going to be so
say,
bad
I can
this.
Guess this in how many names, so I would recommend going for the full amount of names and then see where Dana takes it.
Okay.
All right? Now, Dana is a previous champion. It's exciting to have him back. He got Dave in one word, or no words, no names, last time he was on. This movie's from 1983. So Natasha was 2.5.
Mm-hmm. Do I say now?
The genre, I should tell you this, is going to be for all of these. The genre is the heroes and villains movies we just discussed. So it's one of the movies in one of the series of movies or singular movies that we were just talking about.
And it has to be one of those that we said?
No, you're free to guess anything.
You can say it
doesn't proper noun. Like that was, I was kind of trying to help you out by saying, you know, that a lot of the movies you were saying, I didn't see it. You were referring to movies that were like six.
Oh, right. Yeah, like Harry Potter six.
So
or whatever.
I'm not giving you any clues as to how many installments they have of these. Mm. You just have to guess which installment I'm talking about, or if it's an installment at all. Okay. 1983, Heroes or Villains. And my hint that I always give, I like to give a hint, is it's not my favorite of that particular franchise. It's not good. And you have nine names you can start with, Natasha.
I'd like to guess it in nine.
Name that movie.
Indiana Jones 3.
You can't just add a number. You have to know. You have to know that it's the, you know, the search for Curly's gold or whatever. Legend of Curly Gold. Okay, so Dana, she's bid nine. Do you want to underbid her? Do you want to tell her to name the movie? You can either go eight names or less. I can name it eight names, or you can say name that movie, or you can jump even lower.
You can jump?
Yeah, you can go all the way to zero or one, like you did that one time.
I'll name it one.
He says he can name it one, so I would recommend you say name that movie.
Was that the good move that I just did?
If you think you know the movie, but I don't know if 83 and that I didn't like it is really...
Oh, you also said franchise.
It's from a franchise.
Mm-hmm. That rules out Explorers. Solar Babies! Bye, Solar Babies!
But also the heroes and villains discussion we had, it has to be one of the top five of heroes or villains.
Right.
So that also rules those
I thought out. For a minute it might have been... Oh, I bet I know what it is. All right,
so I'll give you the one name. This is the lowest credited person on the movie.
Can it be the star?
No. That's what happens is you corner yourself into the... All right. Oh, you lucked out. You're going to get this because the one name is...
Give me the initials.
It's a giveaway. All right. I like it. He likes to make it hard on himself. You must be like the favorite when you're like in a dominatrix situation. Well, I decided to mispronounce situation as long as I was mispronouncing dominatrix.
Is there an S&M movie trivia game that I don't know?
LM are the initials.
LM. Lois Maxwell Octopussy.
God damn it.
Is that correct? Really?
That is correct. We're going to have you back on versus Jerry O'Connell because he had a weird way of guessing him very.
I thought it was DL for Desmond Llewellyn.
Oh, yeah.
Who was
yeah.
Q.
That's
no, they
amazing.
Put her at the end.
Now
then,
dead.
Like the next name's Vijay Armitage. You wouldn't have gotten it from
I wouldn't
that.
Have got that.
Although Indian and Octopussy had a lot of Indian nonsense. Okay.
Octopussy, do you know Tom Kenny?
Yes, I do.
We went to see Octopussy
SpongeBob.
And A View to a Kill together. We both lived in Boston at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And during A View to a Kill, I remember us both just hissing stop to Roger Moore. Like, stop! Stop making these movies! Stop it! Stop it! It was like, why is my dad being chased by a tiger? What is
well, that's what I don't
dad?
Like about Octopussy is at one point to thwart a bomb attempt at a circus, he dresses
like
up as a clown.
Yeah, that's
it's
like
just like, no.
No.
James Bond will walk out there in his fucking tuxedo and take care of business.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be like putting on an outfit. When did he ever, like, did Sean Connery ever put on it, like, even like a waiter outfit or a stormtrooper uniform? No. He was always, fuck it, they're going to figure out who I am, and I'm just going to have to take care of business.
Imagine Daniel, and he's a good clown. Like, he really, like...
Yeah. He had the makeup really down. Like, somebody must have helped him. He must have befriended somebody backstage.
That was grim.
In the clown dressing room. Yeah, that's a rough movie. I did like when the one dude had the saws that were on the end of like rubber bands, so that you could just saw somebody in the neck and then have it shoot back into your hand. Because it sucks when you throw your saw at someone, then you have to go over and pick it up.
Get it? Have you ever seen a clown? In traffic? Just like driving around like a clown.
Oh yeah, on the way to a party.
Yeah.
Oh
God, I love that. It's so weird.
But also that expression, have you ever seen a clown in traffic? I live in Los Angeles, of course. The roads are full of clowns.
Here's another thing I realized. If you ever go to like the Man's Chinese Theater and you see like Spider-Man, he doesn't look like Spider-Man, but he looks exactly what homeless Spider-Man would look like.
With a baby do.
Yeah. Like if you said homeless Darth Vader, I go, I can't envision. Oh, I get it.
And exactly. What's funny too is I think the tourists think that that's hired by the city because yeah. they've seen him like give them their babies for pictures, and it's like that guy just got a sandwich out of the garbage can in front of the check cashing place.
Soggy wet Elmo should not be holding your baby.
But like the tourists just are very not, you know.
Yeah. This is from 1991.
Oh, we have more.
Oh boy.
Yeah, we have less. We got to wrap it up. Silence. I almost just said it. Natasha, how many? How many, Natasha?
Zero. Silence of the Lambs.
That's correct. You're all tied up. All right, quickly.
One. Quickly, Silence
here
of
we
the
go.
Lambs. One.
Here we go.
A New Hope.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Why didn't they just name it A New Hope in 77? The kids would have flocked to it. Are you going to see A New Hope?
All right, Dana gets to go first on this one, but I'm just going to... I'm not going to give you any clues. I'm just going to say how many names you think you can get this next one. It's from the... You get nothing. You just have to start out. 10 is the maximum. You can start out at 10, or you can... Do a bold move and...
I don't get the year?
No, you get nothing. That's how unfair I think this competition is. And I've sneakily tied it up. Uh-huh. So I'm giving Natasha a chance
All right.
to win this thing.
Okay.
So how many names?
Four.
Now, Natasha, I recommend to you, as your attorney, that you say you can do it in one name.
You know, Doug, I do think I could do it in one.
Here we go. This is the last name on the list from 1939. It says, The Singer Midgets.
Oh.
I never knew there was a goddamn credit for that movie. That like, oh, you know who's in this movie? The Singer Midgets.
Did I win? Am I a champion?
Yeah, you're the winner. You're the winner.
Did you say the name of the movie?
Yeah, she said it.
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, she said it. But how hilarious is that?
With Judy Garland.
Singer Midgets. Like, you can't even give them individual credit.
What kind of assholes? Like, well, we got a bunch of midgets. What midgets? The singer midgets? Okay.
Singing midgets.
They better be, because they do a lot of it in the film. Virtually the entire time they're on screen, they are singing. They're not just the midgets.
It's like when people go like, I'm so upset I need some solace. Yes, but in what quantum? If only I knew the quantum.
James Bond, number one hero of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, tying it all together there at the end. Dana Gould is here, and we're done. Natasha.
Thank you.
Thank you for
being
here.
That was short.
Goes by fast. 45 minutes, though, next installment, so look forward to that. And in the meantime, Willem Dafoe's a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.